Okay, so this is einkorn wheat here.
Yeah, I've got a few different samples of the ancient wheats. This is einkorn, Triticum monococcum, and it's a mixture of different einkorn varieties. It's, see how small the ear is. It really looks like a wild grass. It's tiny. And this was the first wheat ever grown by humans, domesticated in Iraq and those places we keep bombing, it seems. See the grain, how small it is and very flat.
It's really tiny. And it's almost like a mini version of...
like a wild grass.
Well, it is, well,
that's
isn't
what it? Is. But also, if you notice, it's in a husk. And all the primitive wheats, like einkorn, spelt wheat, and emmer, have a husk which protects the seed. And you've got to knock that husk off to get at the grain, which is a real challenge, actually. And in the Roman period, they ate a lot of spelt wheat, but no one quite knows how, you know, they had... hunt thousands of slaves to knock the husk off to dehull this spelt wheat. I actually think they were using spelt wheat for brewing because of the problem of getting this husk off. So I have a special machine that's a dehuller, a dehusker. That's the sound of a tractor on a farm.
It's definitely, there's good agricultural noises here. We've got cows.
She's shifting the manure out of the barn and dumping it out in the field. There are red kites flying all over as well.
It's very interesting. So, carry on about the einkorn.
So, einkorn it didn't have a lot of the gluten that we think of in modern bread came in from a later cross that came in from a wild grass that came into a later line of wheat. So, this einkorn basically doesn't have much gluten in it. It has gluten, it has wheat gluten, but not the kind that's going to give you a fluffy loaf of bread. Very nutritious, but it was very low yielding, so it didn't really go anywhere. You know, it was grown here in the Neolithic period, the first wheat grown, but it gradually fizzled out as soon as they brought in another wheat called emmer. And emmer's,
I definitely want to talk about emmer, but what I just want to come back to with the einkorn is, looking at this, there's virtually nothing to it. So how come we're buying now heritage varieties of einkorn to bake with, and yet I can see that the yield on that must be incredibly low?
It is extremely low, but over the past 10 years, really, 10, maybe a bit more around that, plant breeders have been trying to improve that yield. In some cases, as far as I know, and I'm not an expert on this breeding project, but I think they were crossing in other wheats with them to increase the yield, make the seed bigger, make the yield better. But they also selected for the highest yielding lines of einkorn. So they've improved the yields. And that's what you're now being able to buy on the market.
Do you consider those still to be einkorn, or are they just a modern variety of what was once an ancient
wheat? That's a good question.
If
they have been hybridized with a different species, they're clearly no longer einkorn. If you cross a modern bread wheat with an ancient einkorn, is it a heritage grain? No, it's not an einkorn anymore. It's a hybrid. It's it's a product of modern plant breeding. So it's a modern wheat, as far as I'm concerned. The same thing with spelt. A lot of modern spelt has been crossed with bread wheat. Now, they're very closely related anyway, but true spelt is much lower yielding, has a very different flower characteristics, than modern wheat. But because the yield was so low and they wanted to improve the gluten content but still call it spelt, they crossed it intensively with modern bread wheat. So it's a modern bread wheat dressed up like spelt.
So not to put you too much on the spot here, but I use Dust Farm flour, which is an einkorn flour. Do you consider that one to be a true heritage, or do you think, do you not know, or is that something that you would regard as being close to what was once an ancient flower?
From what I know about that particular breeding program, and I'm not saying I know a lot about it, but I probably know more than a lot of people who are buying the flower, it's still an einkorn, and I have a feeling the variety they've grown was not crossed with any other species. So in that sense, it's still an einkorn.
Because I find it gives a really nutty, moist bread. And it bakes very well. I mean, I like using it. I'm glad you said that.
I have no problem with science. I have no problem. There's a limit. I don't think, like I said earlier, we don't necessarily need to move down the whole GM road. I think that's very scary or unnecessary. Not necessarily scared of it, but it's unnecessary and potentially quite dangerous. But plant breeding has its role. I'm not against improving certain crops, but there's always, you're losing something at the same time. So I'm growing a mixture. As I said earlier, if you grow a pure variety, you have problems agronomically. You have problems about how it can adapt to changing weather or difficult growing conditions. That variety that is now being marketed is genetically pure. So it's a, you know, every plant is a clone, so it has, it won't necessarily be as resilient as the an older true heritage population. And I know what I'll choose to do. I'm going to stick to the old populations because I think we're in for a rough time climatically. I don't think this is just a freak last 2 years that we've had of terrible weather. So, you know, maybe there's a way of incorporating both into it. You want yield in a good season, but resilience in a poor season. This is why people grew mixtures.
So if I'm just going to pause on the
einkorn. Slightly avoiding answering the question, aren't I?
No.
Ever so sorry.